heading off a government shutdown.
I think the president's going to go it alone on the border.
Guilty verdict for El Chapo.
This is a day of reckoning, but there are more days of reckoning to come.
Inside look at military housing.
Black mold, lead paint, rats, roaches.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan. There are indications President Trump will sign on to a budget deal that would head off a second partial government shutdown. CBS's Nancy Cordes says if he does, most of the money he wants for his border wall would have to be found elsewhere.
I'm not happy.
President Trump may not be happy, but he's up against a united Congress.
I hope he'll decide to sign it.
Sign it and don't cause a shutdown.
They're urging him not to listen to his TV allies who have rejected deals in the past.
The so-called compromise is typical of the D.C. sewer and swamp.
The president wanted $5.7 billion for a border wall. The compromise gives him about a quarter of it, nearly $1.4 billion, for fencing, 55 miles of it in the Rio Grande Valley. Republicans say it's a start.
I don't mind him taking that as a down payment and finding the rest through executive action.
The agreement is actually slightly smaller than the $1.6 billion the Senate set out in December, a sign of the leverage Mr. Trump lost.
Well, San Diego County, California is planning to sue the administration over the release of families seeking asylum. Officials say they often wind up in shelters while they await hearings, and it's putting a strain on charities. Texas Senator Ted Cruz tweeted the drug profits sought from El Chapo should go towards funding the border wall. As we hear from CBS's Jerika Duncan, the Mexican drug lord is now a federal convict.
This conviction is a victory for the American people.
For federal prosecutors, it was a sweeping victory. Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, guilty on all counts and now facing life without parole.
It is a sentence from which there is no escape and no return.
El Chapo will likely be sent to the Supermax prison in Colorado, one of the homes to the nation's most dangerous inmates, including Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev and the 1993 World Trade Center bomber Ramzi Youssef.
Well, hundreds of flights are canceled or delayed today on the heels of yesterday's massive storm system that rolled through the upper Midwest and east. Millions are dealing with the ice and snow left behind. WCBS TV forecaster Lonnie Quinn says the next trouble spot is California.
Paradise today, with all that burn scarred land, is just getting pummeled with rainfall. Over the next 3 days, Paradise is going to pick up about a half a foot of rain. Los Angeles, also the burn scarred area, you're picking up a lot of rain as well.
One of the women who accuses Virginia Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax of sexual assault spoke publicly yesterday at Stanford University about the topic in general, not about her specific allegations, which date back to the 2004 Democratic National Convention.
Sexual violence and sexual assault in our lives can have a very prominent impact on our understanding of ourselves, our bodies, the world around us.
Vanessa Tyson said she's disturbed by attempts to discredit victims' credibility. Fairfax has denied the claims of both women. Now to New York City, where a police detective was killed responding to a report of an armed robbery at a store.
This appears to be an absolute tragic case of friendly fire.
Police Commissioner James O'Neill says the man police encountered had what looked like a handgun. It was fake. The suspect was shot and is in stable condition. Overseas, CBS's Charlie Daggett reports on the exodus in Syria as time and space run out for ISIS.
They've been pouring out of the last ISIS-held village in numbers no one here had expected. The women and children, sons and daughters of ISIS members who are long gone, still fighting, or already dead. Hala Muhammad's husband was killed in an airstrike, leaving her to care for five children on her own. What does it mean to you to see the end of ISIS?
What is she?
They mean nothing to me. They're trash.
Families here told us there aren't many civilians left. The latest to flee from ISIS may be among the last.
In Denver, talks lasted into the night, but there was no deal worked out to end a teacher's strike that heads into its third day. Bargaining will continue today. A Senate committee is holding a hearing on the growing complaints from military families who live in homes on bases that are managed by private contractors. Here's CBS's Chip Reed.
Josh and Lacey Sandin have lived at Fort Meade in Maryland for over 2 years.
We started noticing issues from almost the very beginning.
Appliances started breaking. Siding on their 8-year-old house was warped.
You can see all along this wall.
And they suspected mold growing on the floor and walls was affecting their children's health.
Ear infections, sinus colds.
Seems to be a very long, painstaking process to actually try to get them to do anything.
It felt like people were screaming.
Shannon Razadin, a Navy wife, collected complaints ahead of today's hearing from more than 7,000 tenants across the nation.
They shared stories of black mold, of lead paint, of rats, roaches.
A Department of Defense spokeswoman told CBS News that the military and its housing partners continue to work together to review housing conditions and evaluate policies and procedures.
Correspondent Mark Phillips takes us on a trip to the South Pacific this morning in the hunt for the Hornet, a U.S. warship lost in the World War II battle for Guadalcanal in 1942, along with 140 crew members.
Rob Kraft, shipwreck hunter. Searching for an American war grave that has been lost for 77 years.
This is needle in a haystack country is what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rob and the crew have to guess where to search using the rough positions reported by other ships at the time.
Let's start breaking it in nice and slow.
Until...
This is it. This is Hornet.
The actual fact that you can find these ships is mind-boggling to me.
Richard Nowatzky was an 18-year-old gunner on the Hornet that day. He's 95 now. We set up a video link from the ship to California so he could see the Hornet again, even the gun he was on.
I used to stand on the right side of that gun.
And a memorial, a lost grave, now has a place. Mark Phillips, CBS News. In the South Pacific.
There's a detailed look at vehicles that are on the road and are just a few years old. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert looks at what's gone wrong and what drivers are saying.
Top complaints in J.D. Power's dependability study include connectivity systems that don't connect and fuel-saving transmissions that don't shift properly. But Power Vice President David Sargent says something new has cropped up, a doubling of the number of dead batteries.
With all of the new electronic systems, you know, the batteries have a much tougher life than they did a few years ago.
Lexus, again the top brand in the annual study of 3-year-old vehicles, followed closely by Toyota. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
A king ruled the big dog show in New York City. A 7-year-old wire fox terrier named King took best in show at the Westminster Kennel Club event. It's the 15th time that breed has taken the top prize. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.